Well, good morning and welcome to our morning reflection here at Craigie Hill Presbyterian Church. Well, we commence our reflection this morning by reading together from Psalm 121. Let's hear God speak to us from his word. I lifted up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let us all pray. Loving eternal Father God, we come this morning on this your day to reflect on who you are. We have just read a psalm of David, a psalm of ascent that your people would have sang as they would have walked to the house of the Lord, to the temple in Jerusalem. Father, as they sang and as we have read this morning, we praise you that you are the one who is the creator of heaven and earth, that you are the one who is your people's helper and keeper. Father, we want to thank you that you're the one who has helped us out of the miry bog. Father, we want to thank you that as our helper, that you have revealed yourself to us. Father, we want to thank you that as our helper, that you did not leave us in our sinful state, but chosen by your grace and your goodness and mercy to reveal yourself to us and to bring ourselves to saving faith in Christ alone. Father, we want to thank you that you're the one who keeps us in the faith. Father, we want to thank you that you do not leave us to our own devices. But Father, we want to thank you that we have that sure and steadfast anchor in the soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our sanctifier and guide. Father, in these most difficult of days that we find ourselves living in, we want to thank you that we can call out to you in prayer, and that you hear us, and that you answer our prayers according to your will. Father, we want to thank you over this last year of judgment, of pandemic, of trial and suffering, that we have seen your sustaining hand of grace on our lives, that you have continuously been our helper. You, the one who is the rock of ages, the unchanging one, has been with us every step of this journey. Father, we want to thank you that we now are beginning to face the end of these difficult days. We want to thank you that better days lie ahead. And Lord, we want to thank you for your mercy upon us. Lord, in these days of judgment, you have remembered mercy. Lord, we want to thank you that we're currently seeing our land been healed. And we praise you for this. Father, we come this morning and we confess our sin to you. Father, forgive us for the times when we have failed to see you as our helper and keeper. Father, forgive us for the times when we have not loved you as our God with our bodies, with our souls, with our strength and our mind, and loved our neighbour as ourselves. Father, forgive us for the times when we have spoken harshly. Forgive us for the times where we have thought despicable and wicked and deceitful things within our hearts. Father, forgive us for the times when we have failed to honour you and give you thanks for meeting our needs physically and also mentally and spiritually. Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our one and only Saviour, our only Mediator. Father, we want to thank you. It's through him that we confess these sins to you as our God. Father, we want to thank you. It's through him that we have seen our sins forgiven. We want to thank you that he has made atonement for us. So, Father, we pray all these things now and into the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you have a Bible with you, please turn to one of our two readings. Firstly, Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22, and we'll read verses 1 to 11, and then Acts 10, verses 1 to 33. So Isaiah 22, verses 1 to 11, and we start to read this article concerning Jerusalem. This is God's holy word. The oracle concerning the valley of vision. What do you mean that you have gone up, all of you, to your housetops? You who are full of shoutings, tumultuous city, exalted town, your slain are not slain with the sword, or dead in battle. All your leaders have fled together, without the bow they were captured. All of you who were found were captured, though they had fled far away. Therefore I said, look away from me. Let me weep bitter tears. Do not labour to comfort me concerning the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord God of hosts has a day of turmoil and trampling and confusion in the valley of vision. A battering down of walls and a shouting to the mountains. And a lamb bore the quiver with chariots and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. Your choicest valleys were full of chariots, and the horsemen took their stand at the gates. He has taken away the covering of Judah. In that day you look to the weapons of the house of the forest, and you saw that the breaches of the city of David were many. You collected the waters of the lower pool, and you counted the houses of Jerusalem, and you broke down the houses to fortify the wall. You made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to him who did it, or see him who planted it long ago. The men then return to Acts chapter 10, and read together verses 1 to 33. And this is the text that we're focusing in on this morning. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to me, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send me to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. Having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop aft about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, been let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without obligation. I asked them why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago about this hour I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Amen. God's word to us this morning is that God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. On Monday past at the manse in Derwick, there was a major search underway. A digger was digging up parts of the garden. I was not in the digger, but outside it. And it was digging in the search to find a water pipe that brings water to the manse. It could not be found. That is, of course, until the shovel of the digger ripped right through the pipe. And all of a sudden, water was going every direction. Within minutes, the whole track within the garden was filling at a quite quick speed of water, and it seemed impossible to stop. This morning from our text, we're going to see that the gospel is impossible to stop. It's spreading like water at a rapid rate. We will see that God is directing Peter to take the gospel to a Gentile, to Cornelius and his household. God is fulfilling his divine will through his servant Peter. Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the triune God. This morning we're going to see how God asked Peter to cross cultural lines and enter the home of a Gentile. A Gentile home would have been a no-goer for a Jew. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Let's work our way through the text, and after doing that, we'll consider its application. In verses 1 to 8, we'll see that Cornelius firstly has a vision from an angel of God. Verses 1 and 2 introduces us to Cornelius. We see Cornelius lives in Caesarea, which was a harbour city. It would have had a heavy Roman presence. The vast numbers of people living in Caesarea were Gentiles. The text tells us of Cornelius' occupation. He is a centurion. He was a commander over 100 Roman soldiers. He was one of 6 commanders in the Italian cohort. Verse 2 tells us that Cornelius is a God-fearing man. He is devout. He leads his family, his whole household, in the fear of the Lord. Cornelius is a Gentile who has been exposed to the God of Israel. He is a God-fearer. Cornelius, we see, is a generous man. He is faithful in the giving of alms. He was a man who was faithful in prayer. The text tells us that he prayed continually to God. From verses 3 to 6, we see Cornelius has an encounter with an angel of God who brought a divine message to him. The ninth hour of the day would have been 3 in the afternoon. Being a man who prayed continually, Cornelius would have been in prayer at this time, as it was the hour of prayer. The ninth hour was set aside for prayer. The angel of God comes to Cornelius and calls him by name. And how does Cornelius respond? The strong warrior was full of terror. He was startled and shocked by what he sees standing before him. In terror, with his eyes fixed on the angel of God, Cornelius asks, "What is it, Lord?" We see the angel of the Lord tells him that the Lord God has heard his prayers alongside his almsgiving. God has accepted them as pleasing in his sight. God is in fact answering Cornelius' prayers. God is revealing himself to Cornelius. From verse 5 we see the angel of God commands Cornelius to send some men on a 31-mile journey to Joppa to collect Simon Peter. The angel of the Lord even tells Cornelius the very house that Simon Peter is staying at in Joppa. The angel of the Lord is telling Cornelius, your men will find Simon Peter in the house of Simon the Tanner. His house is at the seashore in Joppa. God has ensured that Cornelius' men will know where to go. But the angel of God does not inform Cornelius why he is to bring Simon Peter to his home in Caesarea. In verses 7 to 8, we see immediately after the angel of the Lord has left Cornelius, he summons 3 people, one of whom was a devout soldier, a fellow God-fearer. Cornelius, in obedience to the instruction he has received from the angel of the Lord, informs these 3 members of staff about his vision from the angel of God. He sends them immediately to Joppa with the orders to collect Simon Peter and to bring him to his home in Caesarea. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Next we see Peter's vision in verses 9 to 16. Verse 9 tells us that as Cornelius' men approach Joppa the very next day, Peter goes up to the flat rooftop of his house to pray at the sixth hour, which would have been about 12 noon. From verses 10 to 12, we see that Peter is hungry. He has shouted down asking for a meal to be prepared for him. But as the meal is being prepared for him, the text tells us that he has fallen into a trance. A trance is another expression for a vision. shaped like a sail coming down from the heavens by its four corners. The text tells us that in the sheep there's all kinds of animals, reptiles and birds of the air, both fit and unfit for food according to the Jewish laws and customs. In verses 13 to 14, we see that Peter hears the voice of God instructing him to kill these animals and eat. And how does Peter respond to this instruction? Peter totally refuses to eat these animals as they are unclean. Peter, a faithful Jew, would not eat these unclean animals as he would not want it to violate the holy law of God. Peter is saying, I have never eaten unclean animals, Lord, and I'm not going to start now. However, in verse 15, we see that God speaks to Peter a second time. Here we see God rebukes Peter. He tells Peter, do not call common what I have made clean. God is telling Peter, I have cleansed this food. It is not common anymore. From verse 16, we see that this happens three times, and then the sheep with all its animals is taken immediately back to heaven. This threefold presentation points to the reality that God is speaking here. And what he is saying to Peter is to be believed. The vision that Peter has received by God points to the reality that a new era has commenced. This vision is to do with more than just food. This vision is to do about people. Peter himself will say when he arrives at Cornelius, so much you can see in verse 28, that God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. The vision from God to Peter shows Peter that what separates Jews and Gentiles is now removed. Now a Jew could go into a Gentile home without the fear of becoming unclean. God has used this vision of unclean food made clean to show Peter how he, the living God, makes unclean people clean. This vision is to show Peter that the gospel is for the Gentiles too. God's work of regeneration is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. From verses 17 to verse 23a, we see that Cornelius' messengers have arrived at Joppa for Simon Peter. Verse 17 is clear that Peter is floored by the vision. He is left pondering the significance of what he has seen and heard within the vision. Verses 17 and 18 tells us that Cornelius' messengers have arrived at Simon Peter's lodgings. We see how God's Spirit directs Peter in verses 19 to 20. Peter was still working this vision out in his head when the Spirit informed him that there was three men downstairs waiting to meet him. God, by his Spirit, informs Peter that these three men have come by his command. God's Spirit tells Peter to go down to them and to go with them without any hesitation. In verse 21, we see Peter arrives downstairs to meet the three men. He introduces himself to them by telling them he is the one they were looking for. Peter goes on then to ask them, why have you come? Peter at this time will be beginning to put the pieces of the jigsaw of God's vision together. Verse 22 will shed light on the meaning of God's vision to Peter, as the messengers of Cornelius will tell Peter that an angel of God instructed their master to send for Peter and have him brought to their master's house and to hear from Peter what he has to say. Peter is made aware that their master is a Roman centurion. They tell Peter that Cornelius is a God-fearing man who is known throughout all Israel. The Jews all speak very highly of this Roman centurion of Cornelius. God has thus chosen that Peter is to go to a Gentile home with God's gospel message to proclaim. Verse 23a shows us that Peter invites Cornelius' messengers into the lodge where he is staying for the night as his guest. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. In verses 23b to 33, we see Peter's arrival and entrance into Cornelius' home, a Gentile home. Verse 23b tells us that after a night's rest, Peter and a few brothers and the Lord went with Cornelius' messengers. Verse 24 tells us that following another day's travel, they arrive in Caesarea. Cornelius at this time has been busy making preparations for their arrival. He has invited his whole family round to meet Peter and his close friends. Cornelius is fully expecting that Peter's message is vital to hear, as it is a message from God. In verses 25 to 27, we see Peter's arrival to Cornelius' home. Cornelius bowed down at his feet and worshipped Peter. Cornelius is receiving Peter as if he is a heavenly messenger. In verse 26, we see Peter refused to let Cornelius worship him. Instead, Peter held Cornelius up and explained to him that he also is only a man who has been created by God. Peter talked with Cornelius, and as they went into his home, Peter found it was filled with many people. Peter, in verses 28 to 29, explains to all gathered how culturally unusual this situation is for a Jew. All gathered in Cornelius' home would have known that it was unlawful for a Jew to be found in the home of a foreigner. The concern would be that the Jew would become unclean by visiting a Gentile. But Peter is clear that God has shown him in a vision that he has no right to call any person common or unclean. God has shown Peter in his vision that this interaction is now permitted. It is for this reason that Peter has come to Cornelius' home. Peter, in verse 29, asks Cornelius, "Why have you asked me to come?" In verses 30 to 32, we see Cornelius explaining to Peter how an angel of God in bright clothing had come to him in a vision, instructing him in this vision to send for Simon Peter in Joppa. From verse 33, we see that Cornelius is delighted that Peter has been willing to come. Now all who are gathered in Cornelius' home are aware that it is God alone who has brought about this meeting. All who are gathered desire to hear the Lord's commanded message through his servant Peter. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. How are we to apply this passage to our lives today? Congregation, it's clear to see that God, once again, is the key figure throughout this passage. It is God who enabled Peter and Cornelius to have this encounter. God revealed his perfect will to Cornelius and Peter through two separate visions. It was God who removed the barriers which will enable Cornelius and his household to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. We will see Peter proclaiming that gospel to Cornelius and his household next week. Believer, we see that it is God who chose to bring his gospel to the Gentiles. It was God in his loving kindness who is giving the Gentiles the ears to hear the truth of God's word. God in his sovereignty will have chosen a multitude from all nations. God's gospel is for both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus Christ made atonement for all his elect. Just as Christ cleansed Peter, he also will cleanse Cornelius and his household, and all who by faith will trust and believe in him alone for the forgiveness of their sins. May you know his cleansing power at work in your life today. Believer, once again we see how God is building up his church. He is enabling a Roman centurion to hear and respond to the gospel. The gospel's moving at a rapid rate to the ends of the earth. Here we see God revealing his gospel to a military leader within the Roman Empire. Who was the world's number one power at this time? The Roman Empire. The gospel throughout the book of Acts just continues to spread further and further. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Believer, we also see from this text how Peter was obedient to God's sovereign will. Peter may not have sacrificed the animals and the vision on the sheep, but when God's Spirit revealed to him the meaning of this vision, he was obedient to the Lord's will and went to Cornelius' house without any hesitation. He crossed the cultural barrier. He did what his cultural world would have seen and taught was unlawful. Congregation, it's the Church of Jesus Christ here in the 21st century in Ireland, willing and ready to cross cultural barriers, to proclaim Christ to all who live within this island? Are we as a denomination really ready to love our neighbour? We're doing a lot of talk about it in these days, but are we really willing to do it? Are we open and obedient to God's leading and guiding? Are we really up to planting congregations in areas in which it will be culturally challenging? Do we truly have a heart to care for the perishing? How can it be in 2021 that there's many people within this little province who will still not know of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? There will be many who will still not even have a copy of the scriptures within their own homes. Believer, let us pray to the Lord of the harvest, asking him to stir up his church, to be faithful in planting the seed, not just in our Jerusalem, but also in our Judea and Samaria. The task of the church is yet unfinished. God directs Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Believer, this morning, God will complete his task, the task of the church, before his return. The gospel will reach the ends of the earth. It will reach all his chosen elect. The Bible Society in Northern Ireland claims that 5.7 billion of the world's population now can access the whole of the scriptures within their own language. There's only 255 million people only. How can you just say only? There's still 255 million people who have no access to any part of the scriptures within their own languages. Those 255 million make up 3,964 languages. Now you'll be saying, the world makes up 7.2 billion. Well, do the maths. The rest of that 7.2 million has either a portion of the scriptures or the New Testament within their own languages. May our prayer be in these days that God will complete what he has started, and he will do so for his own glory. Amen. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we praise and thank you that as our covenant God, that you have chosen according to your holy providential will to save unto yourself a chosen people from all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues. Father, we do remember this morning in our prayers those different organizations who work translating your word into different languages. Father, we want to thank you for the fruits of their labours in your vineyard. We want to thank you for the gifts, talents and skills you have given them. We want to thank you that by your grace that you have enabled much to be completed and accomplished. But Father, we see that there's much yet to be done. And Lord, we would pray that you, the Lord of the harvest, would make this possible. Within our own denomination these days, we're asked to pray for Stephen and Angelina Cowan, global mission workers in Tomb in Kenya. They ask us in these days to give thanks for new personnel, new workers within the harvest field. They also ask us to give thanks for opportunities that they have had in recent days to be able to share the gospel. They also ask us to give thanks for the good attendance at the Bible teaching and staff training seminars. Father, we want to thank you that the seed of your word has been sown, and Lord, we would ask that you would not allow it to return unto yourself void, as you promised you would. Father, they also ask us to pray for those who are affected in these days by the pandemic in Kenya. Lord, we would pray, Lord, for the efforts out there to suppress the spread of COVID-19. Father, closer to home, we do pray for those within our government in London, in Westminster, and also here at Stormont. Lord, we recognise that we live in difficult days where difficult decisions need to be made. But Father, those who you have called to power and authority within our governments, you have called them for such a time as this. And Lord, we would pray that you would give them the wisdom that they would need in the decisions they need to make in the days they find themselves in. We do want to pray, Lord, for those who know you as Lord and Saviour within this vocation. Lord, we would pray that you would give them many opportunities to speak of the hope that they have and the reason for the hope that they have in defending the faith in Parliament. Father, we do want to pray, Lord, for those who are unwell at this time, those within our congregation, and those also who we know within our own extended families and community. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those recently just home from a period of time in hospital. Father, we want to thank you that in your providence, that you have brought once again strength, a regaining of good health, a measure to return home. Lord, we also pray for those who suffer with their mind. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who the long nights do not bring much sleep, but wrestling and turning in the bed, worrying about the future, about the present situation we find ourselves in. Father, where there's fears, where there's anxiousness, where there's troubles, Father, would you enable those who find themselves in that situation to cast their cares on you. May they know that you are with them as they face the storm throughout this period of life. And Father, may they know that you're the one, the only one who can bring peace and stillness and calm in the times of the mighty winds. Father, we pray also for our young people. Lord, these recent months have been so difficult for parents trying to do homeschooling and students trying to study from home, not having the same access to facilities, to equipment and to teaching as those normal times would bring. Lord, we want to thank you that it looks like we're heading to pray where schools would be able to open once again, and we pray for those staff who work and teach within our local schools. Lord, give them wisdom as they move through these bumpy times. And Lord, we would pray that our young people would be able to make good of the opportunities that they have in these days. Now, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.